Well, hello, my friends. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here. And no offense to you, I'm actually more excited that my guest is here. I get to interview a Nashville recording artist. That's right. I'm cool enough for that. I'm not really cool enough. Mason Douglas, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for letting me be on here and hang out and talk about the new project going on here. Really, really appreciate you letting me come yap at you for a while. This is awesome.
I love it. I'm so excited to talk with you and hear about that and just get into all the nitty gritty. You got a lot of things I want to hear about. So we are going to get into it in just a moment. All right. So, so I'm so excited that just actually worked and happened. I already told Mason off the air that we're using new recording. We're using big girl, big boy software recording. So, I'm very excited when things go right. But back to you, Mason, you're kind of a big deal. You have like this crazy, huge, I don't want to say pedigree. We're talking about pedigrees with dogs, but you have this like huge, really cool history of your experiences. So let's walk through this a little bit before we get to the music. You're from Tucson, Arizona. Is that right?
Yeah, Air Force brat, grew up in Tucson. My dad was a fighter pilot, so I got to be just surrounded by military all my life. And so Davis Monthan Air Force Base, we moved a lot went to Bentwaters in England. We were in Hampton over at Langley. My dad was involved with the special projects out there. We were out in Hawaii for a bunch. He was the PACAF commander out there, operations commander. So got to be part of military a lot, and it led me around the world. And then I found music back in, you know, this guy named Garth Brooks came along for me, and that's the one who did it again. Garth is still making waves, but he was a huge deal back when he came around and when I was discovering music and when songwriting and performing just started, country became cool again, I guess is the way to put it. And so when country became cool, I said, man, that's what I want to do. Moved to Nashville and been here ever since, rocking and rolling.
Wow. How old were you when you moved to Nashville?
I just graduated college. My mom said, you can do anything you want to do with your life, and I will support you 1,000% as long as you go to school. And so that was the deal. So I went and got a marketing degree along with a computer science degree and finished that up, did a dual major. And so I was, I guess I was 22 at the time and I could have gone to LA, if you've ever been, traffic is just horrendous. So as that was a little too congested and New York, obviously too theatrical. So Nashville was the place for me, especially for the, you know, country music. It was just a no brainer on that one.
Yeah. You knew all along country music was your lane musically, like you felt like that was your heart.
I don't know. That's a good question. I grew up on Def Leppard, Motley Crue. My sister Michelle was listening to Guns N' Roses and all the cool stuff. She was 4 years older than me, so she was telling me all the cool stuff to listen to. Pearl Jam came into my life, even more mainstream pop like Gin Blossoms and Toe the Wet Sprocket. I was into that. And it wasn't it was always being played in my house. My mom always had Ricky Van Shelton on, George Strait, Chris LeDoux. She was playing Chris LeDoux tapes before anybody knew who Chris LeDoux was. I just wasn't absorbing it. And then one day I went to see Alan Jackson at TCC in Tucson. And all of a sudden I just realized that, man, this is kind of speaking to me. This is talking to me. And then that's about the time that Garth was just blowing up and country made a lot of sense. And then I'm like, thank you, Mom. You've been playing all this music that I didn't know I was absorbing this whole time. And now it's in my veins and in my soul. I just didn't know it was hanging out down there. And it was really easy to let that come out and say, oh, well, I can try to sing this stuff. I can try to write this stuff and try to go out and pound the pavement and put my head down on it.
That's so cool. What a great, great story. And, you know, I love the initiative too, just be like, you know what? I think I can do this. I'm going to do this. I love that. I find everything you just said is so relatable, with the exception of I have zero musical talent. I sing all the time, but I can't sing, you know, one
it's
of those people.
You have to
it's in there somewhere. It must be. But I love that. And I love that you have such an eclectic musical background. And I grew up the same. It's funny. I have an older brother, 4 years older, and same thing. So I was absorbing his music. My mother loved Motown, so I was listening to Motown. So I think that is, to have such a wide variety of musical influences, I think it probably makes your own work richer, like deeper, more, I don't know, evolved. I don't even know. That's probably not even the right word, but I think that's really cool that you have such a wide variety of influences. Nashville.
I get to expand on it every day in songwriting, because music these days is so influenced by so many different genres. So if you're just doing country, if you just grew up listening to one, these days, just listen to Florida Georgia Line, all your songs are going to sound like Florida Georgia Line.
Sure.
But if you go into a Motown background, a little bit of Pearl Jam in there, a little bit of, Kings of Leon, and you just mix it all together in a big soup, you're going to have a whole wider well to draw from when you're ready to create. So it helps a lot for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I would imagine so. And I just, it's funny when you're saying Garth Brooks, for me, it was Tim McGraw, Don't Take the Girl. Now I'm an East Coast girl. We're just no country going on here. Yeah. And I, up until I heard that song, I was always like, ew, country, yuck, because I was too busy listening to Wham or something, 80s girl, if you couldn't figure that out. But yeah, and I heard Don't Take the Girl and the story, I mm-hmm. cried the whole darn song. It made me cry. And I loved that because I was a teenage girl and, crying is just our nature. And so from then on, it was that. But it's funny how that happens, right? You hear one thing and you're like, wait a minute, that's what I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. It's so cool.
Absolutely.
How do you feel about... a lot of people who are diehard country music fans, like lifelong, going back to, Conway Twitty and when it was country and Western, those people will say now, like, the crap they're playing now, that's not country. How do you feel about that?
It's all generational. Everybody grows up on what they're listening to and what they appreciate and what they love. And music's very cyclic. It's the sort of cyclical. I don't know what the proper usage is on that, if an ale or not. But it's all a giant circle right now. What is deemed cool and country and progressive, it's just retro. It's just 60s stuff. 70s coming back in. That 80s country with all the Texas guys, all the Cody Jinxes and the Cody mm-hmm. Johnsons and all those they're bringing back in that that 80s, 90s country. Then you have, Morgan Wade's recent release, which sounds just kind of definitely got that 60s backbone hanging in there. And mm-hmm. so it's everything's going to progress. I think it's okay. I think it's every generation showing its new ear for it. I do laugh that people are, when people say, oh, this is a fresh new sound, I'm thinking, man, I was around when that was the original sound. So I don't know what that says about me, but it's my age. But I remember when this was a lot cooler back when it first came out. So sure. I can appreciate that. So I'll answer my question. I can appreciate it. I understand why it happens. I still love what I grew up on and what's in my veins. And but I understand why those new sounds come along for sure. Everything evolved.
Yeah. Yeah. You hear it with a completely different ear than an average, like myself, like an average listener. We don't hear those nuances or those, riffs or beats. Like, I don't even know the right terminology. It sounded so stupid saying that. But you know what I mean.
You know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank goodness. It's funny. What is that saying? Everything old is new again, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That is true.
I feel like, my feeling on it is like, isn't there room for everybody? Like, if you love that, that's your thing. That's great. If you love a different thing, like you don't have to knock what somebody else is doing. Right. I mean, there's room for everybody.
Yeah.
But I do think
you have a pause button, you have an off button. You can turn it off or skip it and find something else you do like, but let that person do their thing. Let them make their music. And that's also the cool part about country music these days is that it meshes. It's meshing so many different genres now. You have your country pop, your country rap, your country rock, your country metal. You have just all these little subgenres of country that never used to be in there. The old school guys are gonna probably poo poo it and thumbs down it, but it's there, and I think it's a great evolution for what you can do, what you can bring to country is your own thing, your own voice.
I love that. Now, you've worked with a variety of artists, very big names, Chris Stapleton, to name one. And I'm going to name my personal favorite, which apparently is also your personal favorite, John Schneider. What?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what? I mean, you and I probably have a different kind of love for him. my teenage heart loves him. Dukes of Hazzard. If somebody, you know, just is come out from underneath a rock and doesn't know who John Schneider is, Dukes of Hazzard. But yeah, so you've worked with so many artists. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
It's a kind of a byproduct of just being in Nashville for so long. You hang out long enough and you eat lunch next to Vince Gill one day and you're having dinner next to Dierks Bentley the next day. And it's just, everybody's around everywhere. And the weird part about working with artists is that you're around before they ever blow up. I was in the studio multiple times with Stapleton doing demos. And then years and years later, actually just back in 2019, got to open for him at a veteran suicide prevention conference at Opryland. And so it's just weird watching him blow up. And I'm like, hey, we were in the studio, you know, all these years ago, man, what's up? And so you cross paths with people. John Schneider was a huge, you talk about full circle. He was my first concert in Busch Gardens out in Williamsburg, Virginia. And I was, God, I don't know how old I was, must have been 4 or 5. But we'd go out there. I knew all the words to all his songs. And again, because he was Bo Duke. So that was the big deal. All these years later, my publisher at the time said, Judy Harris, legend in the industry. She says, hey, John Schneider's looking for material and he wants to cut a couple of your songs. Is that okay? And I'm like, oh my God, the John Schneider. And got to go in the studio, got to hang out. And since then, become buddies and talk to him every now and then. And we're actually texting right now, trying to figure out a lunch date if I can pin him down. So he's a good dude, but it was just one of my huge, huge honors to have him record a couple songs. He did Buy You a Beer. If you guys have ever seen him live, he plays Buy You a Beer. He's got a t-shirt with the phrase on it. And then also another song called Kid from Somewhere that I co-wrote with a couple buddies.
Wow, that is so cool. Yeah, and that's really a testament to your talent. You know, I don't want to understate the actual talent that you have to be able to do that. I mean, to be able to work with so many artists, you're a sought after songwriter. So that in itself is so cool. Now, you mentioned publisher, you're also an author. I'm going to take a wild guess here that you don't spend a moment of your time being bored, do you?
I'm never bored. Sometimes I do decompress just to watch. Mm-hmm. Last time I'm like, feel sure. Guilty watching the Cowboys game. I'm like, oh, should I feel guilty? Should I be working? But I'm like, no, you got to just chill out. But there's always something to do. I was just looking at my computer upstairs thinking, oh my God, I got to finish that. Got to finish that. Got to finish that. Got to finish that. But they're all the cool part about where I'm fortunate, I guess I'll be honest here. I've worked a lot of jobs that driving a hotel van and doing logistics for an inmate transport company, selling computers. I've done all that stuff. And I was lucky enough to now be able to do music. And so I'm filling up with all the stuff with writing books. Again, I had them here just in case it came up, but Nashville pop culture stuff. Now, you know, Nashville, Secret Nashville, all stuff I love. I'm not writing a book about something that I'm not passionate about. I get to sit down and do this stuff. I get to write these songs, produce these tracks, and a lot of hard work went into it. So I'm not going to discount that. I busted my butt to get there. And I'm just lucky enough to fill up that these projects with stuff that I love to do.
Sure. I love that. Tell me a little bit about, so you go from songwriting for other people and watching them perform songs that you've written or co-written, and then also doing your own songs, your own thing, being the guy, Center Stage, you opened up for huge acts. I mean, you've got number ones out there, the whole works. Tell me about what it feels like being the guy, being the one, not being the behind the scenes guy, but being the guy right in front. Do you love it? Do you have mixed feelings about it?
Oh, I love it. Again, since seeing Alan Jackson that first time, I wanted to be the guy standing on stage, and then seeing Garth fly across Texas Stadium, I wanted to be the guy flying across Texas Stadium. I really pursued that. I was signed to a label about 12 years ago, I guess now, a couple record deals, and and got to make albums that I wanted to make and make some great music. Never broke artistically. That was the strange part. Never had that mainstream major label breakthrough with it, that you're looking for as an artist. So I went to songwriting, which is great. And I've been behind the scenes for all these years now until this last project of I Miss America popped up, and wrote a song with my buddy Clarence J, and we produced it up. Things started just unfold with this song, and we had a great message behind it, a great great team that believe in what it's saying. And so I said, you know what, let's dust off the cobwebs in a little bit, and the artist get the guitar back on, see if it still fits, and get out from behind the studio, because I've been the wizard behind the studio curtain for so long, and just the songwriting rooms. And so it's super fun to explore this again, because I admit, there's no question, I haven't updated social media a lot. I post pictures of my kid and a little bit of traveling, and that's it. There's no pictures of me out there hustling and doing the clubs and festivals. And I'm like, that's for the young kids. But now with that I Miss America that we're bringing out here, I'm super excited and proud and excited to be the voice behind it. So we'll see how this goes.
That's so awesome. What fun. What a great adventure. In life, awesome. So many adventures.
So unexpected. How many times I'm sitting there and just like, hey, what's going on? And all of a sudden, random phone call, random email, and everything just shifts. It's not always a left turn. You don't like those left turn ones, but sometimes those shifts are really, really cool, where you get that unexpected thing that you've been preparing for and working for, but you just don't know when they're going to happen. Then all of a sudden they do. And you're like, okay, let's chase mm-hmm. it. Let's see what happens.
And it's always when you least expect it. Like, you know, you're so focused on a plan. And you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what's going to happen with it. And then it doesn't happen. And you're like, okay, whatever. I'll move on to the next thing. And then that other thing blows up. It's very crazy how things happen. So it takes a lot of faith and a lot of trust in just the process and of timing, right? Like timing is what it is. And we usually don't have any control over it, which is, you know, I don't know. I think it makes it more of an adventure. Like, you just never know.
Yeah. Especially in music, you cannot guarantee the outcome, but you don't know if you're going to get the number one or the big hit, but you have to. So you have to love the process. You have to love mm-hmm. being there and that journey, the unexpected twist around every corner, the ups, downs, hills, valleys, all that stuff you have to be prepared for. So you better love where you're going. Just a funny thing on timing. One of the songs I got to be part of was Kid Rock's little controversial number, We the People. I don't know if any of your listeners, viewers know that one, but I co-wrote that with Kid Rock and my buddy Jason Wyatt. And we started it pre-COVID back in 2019.
Wow.
And Kid Rock was always saying, we'll call him Bob, buddies call him Bob. So we'll say Bob. Bob was saying, you know what? I don't know when I'm going to put this out, because it just has to be the right timing. And so we did what we could on the track, and we wrote big choruses, a very unity type of song out there. And then Bob also said, I'm going to put my own little spin on it when it's ready. Well, COVID comes around, and you know, we don't hear much. Again, touring stops. We chisel on the song here and there when we need to, but it wasn't until January of last year, when everything got super charged up and heated, that Bob came back and said, all right, guys, now's the time. I'm going to release it. Again, we're just sitting there. Nope, I'm watching TV when I get the call. He says, I'm going to release this Tuesday. And then just by one week, I was sitting there, a non-number one writer. And the next week, wasn't even looking for it, had no clue what was going to happen. Bob released it, and all of a sudden, I'm a number one writer. And I'm thinking, he had the timing just down. He knew exactly when to put that song out, what it was supposed to say, and how to do those verses. So it created controversy right at the right time, right with the perfect timing. And then, again, for me, I'm just sitting there going, this is weird. This is insane. I've had no clue this is going to happen. And here we are.
So. Yeah. And probably having been a while since, you're probably like, oh yeah, I remember those lines. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And there were definitely a few new ones that we had not heard yet that he decided to put in there based on the status of the world at the time.
Yes. Yes. It's been some interesting times, hasn't it?
Yep. Good word for it.
Yes, right? Yeah, probably anybody watching probably just yelled at the screen and said, you know, understatement of the year, Elsa. Absolutely. Yes. So tell me a little bit about your I'm assuming it's like the first release from the new music, from the new album. Tell me a little bit about the background of it.
Yeah, actually, I'm releasing EPs all the time, but this was intended to be just a single, kind of a standalone project right now. And it's called I Miss America. And it is a product, me and my buddy Clarence J. Clarence wrote Friday for Rebecca Black and produced it. So he's extremely viral, multi hundreds of millions of streams and spins and views, and knows the business inside and out. So he's a great dude. And we're just hanging out, talking, and we really just had a conversation about where the world was today, and everybody fighting, everybody on social media going back and forth, everybody trying to change each other's minds, and how futile that is, how much we bang our head on the wall just trying to change each other's minds, and we get mad when those minds don't change. And we started thinking, man, I remember a time when I could just sit there and I knew my buddy wasn't thinking the same thing that I was, but we would just sit there, laugh about it, and have a conversation about, well, why is this? Well, I think this way. Yeah, I don't see that because I see this. Oh, cool. And still raise our beers and have a toast to each other. And we started talking about that. And that kind of just agree to disagree unity is what we're missing. And so we started writing this song, and I had this title sitting there called Miss America. And it had that exact line of, man, out of everything I miss, man, I miss America. And so we started writing that and just started thinking about all the things America used to be, what we remember, what are based on either nostalgia before our time, during our time in the 90s and even after, and just little things that was the foundation for our society and our just our generation and our ideals, essentially. And our big message behind it was not, you're wrong, you're right, I hate you, go over there. It was more like, where's the unity? Where are those flags in the front yards again that everybody's in? Visually, what I see is we're getting fed all this. Think of a Venn diagram. I've created like a Venn diagram. Let's go back to math class real quick. And probably isn't anything new to anybody, but you got your right leaners and you got your left leaners right in here. There's a big swath that we're all kind of, if we talk about it, if we just sit there and say, what do you think? Well, here's what I want for the best. Yeah, me too. I want the best for this. And actually have those discussions face to face civilly, then we will discover that vast majority of us in the middle of that overlap are all agreeing and want the best. However, what we're getting fed is the fringe stuff. We get the stuff on the outer edge of the fringe, and that's what we're being shown. So we think that other person is thinking all the fringe stuff when they're really actually kind of having a sane thought in there, or just need, or don't know enough, or haven't done the research. And they, once they discover that, then what the truth of the matter really is with facts, then we might be a whole lot more eye to eye than we think. So that's where the song came from. That just talking about that. And then again, a little bit of a rambling tangent there, but that's actually,
no, I love it. You know, everything you said is so on point and so true. And I just simply agree with you completely. I think when we talk face to face, instead of, you know, over the internet, over social media, where it's not really, you know, nobody's really talking to each other. People are talking at each other. But when you get somebody face to face, and exactly like you said, it's such an important point that, you know, when you really sit down and talk to somebody with different views than you, extremely, maybe radically different views than you, when you cut right down to the core of it, it's exactly like you said, you know, what do you want for your life and your children's life? Well, you want the best life possible for your family and your loved ones. And you want to live in peace and, you know, comfort, and you want to be able to make a decent living and do all the things. And those are that's the common ground right there. We actually all want, you know, the same end or the same results of life. We just have different ways of getting to that, or believing how to get to that. And, you know, when you have that conversation and you do look for the common ground more so than the differences. And you know, as we well know, mainstream media and news, and I should put that in quotation marks, news, it's really just tabloid stuff now, designed to divide, you know, to keep us fighting with each other, because then we're not looking at what they're doing. If we keep fighting with each other, we don't really pay attention to what they've got going on. But yeah, you're so right. And, you know, what a truly, truly, in every sense of the word, what a truly timely message, timely song to put out in the world. And so for those of you who don't know, I like to pre-record my show. So we are actually pre-recording. We're recording right now on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. So I'll speak for both of us, if you don't mind. This is a very poignant time, a day, somber, emotional. You know, especially when, you know, and I'm sure, you know, people always, when I was a kid, and you can probably relate to, growing up, people, our parents and grandparents would talk about where they were the day Kennedy was shot. Like, that was their big thing. Most of us remember where and what we were doing on 9/11 when that happened. And so it's such a significant day to be talking about such a significant message. And I really thank you for putting out something that's really meant to unify instead of divide.
Oh, well, we hope the message resounds, and everybody's, the big message also is, you don't have to stop thinking what you're thinking. And it's not like you're wrong or you're right. It's you are free. That's why we're here, to think what you want, to say what you want, without, you know, to a certain degree, again, not the fringe stuff, but on the edge of the diagram there. You should be able to say this stuff and think this stuff without repercussions and without losing friends, without losing clients, your business, your job, your life. And this is on, you know, this is on both sides of the aisle, guys. This is everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody should be doing this. So for us, it's, you know, what do we want this to be? We kind of want to just, it's a big message. It's the message. It's almost a mantra too, of I miss America, man. When you hear it, okay, I miss America when we could be, when we could have that unity. And that's, our tagline is, that we came up with is, less fighting, more uniting. So that's what we're going for, with this. We also have a video. I don't know if, this video should be up right now. And, this is super cool. We had Miss Victoria Jackson play my mom, Victoria
Nice.
Jackson.
Nice, that's so cool.
Live alum, and she is awesome, and yeah, she's a good friend now. So, just really, really cool being in certain company. But filming that video, we also had a lot of improv specialists come in and play my family, and appearance from my dad, my late dad, who he passed away in 1993 from ALS, and he was a fighter pilot, Vietnam fighter pilot, again, teaching A-10s at Davis-Monthan, but I lost him when I was just a teenager, and he actually makes a cameo appearance in there as well. So super cool, really heartfelt and special to me. Check out the video, see what we're talking about, see the message, and that's all we can ask, because we really want to get out there and become part of everybody's thought process.
I love it. And we're going to be playing that at the end of this broadcast for you guys. And in the just so you know, in the show's notes, we're going to have links for everything where you can find Mason and his music and his books and everything that he's got going on. So don't worry. It's all going to be there, guys. Mason, I really can't thank you enough for coming on. This has been such an enjoyable conversation. It's been so lovely meeting you and hearing about all the things. And I feel like we've only really scratched the surface. I have a feeling we could go on for another 3 hours, but I'm sure you're very busy.
This is such a treat to be with you. I knew who you are long before we booked this. So this is super cool to be here talking with you, getting to meet you, and letting me tell you about our new song, new video. imissamerica.com. It's where you can find all the info. But Elsa, thank you so much for letting me come take your time.
An absolute pleasure. Tell us quickly, is there anywhere we're going to be able to find you? Are you playing out anywhere right now, or everything will be on the website?
Oh yeah, it'll be on the website. We're going to see what happens, where we need to be with this song and video. But otherwise, masondouglasmusic.com is where you can find me for all the socials. But imissamerica.com is also where all the links will be as well, including all the news about the song and the video and everything else pertaining to it.
Beautiful. All right, my friend, thank you so much, guys. That was Mason Douglas, and he's a Nashville recording artist, all around great guy. We, I'm not kidding when I tell you, we only scratched the surface here with all of the things that he's got going on and that he's done. And I need for you to go check that out and check out that song. And we'll see you in the next episode. Take care, guys.
I miss the old days when we came together and we'd all say, let's make it better. But that train jumped the track. Let's bring our country back home, sweet home of the brave and the bold. Yeah, she's something to say. I miss her open arms. I miss her hope and love. But most of all, man, I miss America.